The Gemara says that the pasuk says that when the Meraglim returned from spying the land, it says Vayelchu Vayavoyu, and they went and they came to Moshe. Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shimei says it teaches that their going to Eretz Yisrael was with the same intent as their coming back. At both times, their intent was to do bad and slander the land of Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk says Vayisapru Loi Vayomru Banu. They began by saying some good attributes of Eretz Yisrael, and then they began to say that the people are too strong to be conquered, etc. Rabbi Yechon said in the name of Meir, Lashon Hara is said without any truth, meaning if the Lashon Hara doesn't have at least some truth to it, no one would believe it, which is why they had to begin by saying certain some good things about Israel, so there was some truth, some emes over there. Pasuk says, "Vayahas Kalev Amel Moshe." Kalev saw that when Yeshua tried to disagree with the Meraglim, the people would not even give him a chance to speak. Kalev therefore began with words that sounded as if he was going to build further on the words of Meraglim. He said, "Is that all that Ben Amram did for us?" They thought he's going to go ahead and disparage Moshe even further. So that got the people's attention. Then he began to praise all the good things that Moshe had done for them. He took us out of Mitzrayim, he had us cross the Yamsuf, and he said anything that he tells us to do is possible. If he tells us to climb up to the heavens with ladders, we'll do so. Therefore, obviously, this land is good because he's telling us that it's good for us. Pasuk says, the other Meraglim said, we can't go up and fight the people of the land, ki chazak hu mimenu, which means they're stronger than us. Or Chanim HaPapa said, the Meraglim actually saying that the people of the land were stronger than him, meaning to say Hashem. Pasuk says, Eretz oicheles yoshveo, he, the Meraglim saw a lot of deaths taking place in the land when they were going ahead and spying in the land. And as they said, it's a land that kills its inhabitants. Rava Darshan, that Hashem said, I made that happen so that people should be busy with their dead and not pay any attention to you, Meraglim, but the Meraglim interpreted it as being a bad thing. Meraglim said that in our eyes we were like grasshoppers, v'chein hayinu b'neihem, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes as well. Rishashi says Meraglim lied, because how did they know what the people of Eretz Canaan thought that they looked like? The Gemara says it's not necessarily true that they lied. It may be that the Meraglim actually hid in the trees and they overheard the people saying that they saw grasshoppers that looked like people in the trees. Pasuk says that after hearing the Meraglim's report, the Eden began to cry. Rabban and Rechanan said that day was actually Erev Tisha B'Av, or possibly Tisha B'Av, meaning by that night it was definitely Tisha B'Av. And it means that the Eden cried that night of Tisha B'Av. And Hashem said, you cried this night for no reason. I will establish this night as a time for crying for all generations. When Yeshua and Kalev tried to convince the Eden that the land was wonderful and not to fear the people of the land, the Eden responded by saying, let us stone them, Yeshua and Kalev. And the Pasuk says that the Shechinah appeared at the Oil Moed. Rechiva Abba said, this teaches that they actually took stones and threw it upwards towards the Shechinah. The Pasuk says the Meraglim who spoke bad about the land died in a plague. Magefa, Rish Lakish said they died an unusual death, perfectly befitting their Avera. Bechanina Bar Papa said that Rav Shila of Kfar Timarto darshan that their tongues became long until they reached their belly buttons, and worms came from their tongues and entered their stomachs, and vice versa. Rav Nachum Yitzchak said that they died from the Ascara disease, which was where the throat swells and the person can no longer breathe, which is one of the punishments for Lashon Hara. Pesukim tells us that when all the Eden made it across the Yarden to the west of the Yarden, the Kahanim carrying the Arden went out on the east side of the Yarden. The waters then returned flowing the way they always had, leaving Klal Yisrael on the west side of the Yarden, and the Arden and the Kahanim carrying the Arden on the east side of the Yarden. The Pasuk tells us that the Arden lifted the Kahanim that were carrying it, along with the Arden itself, and flew over to the other side of the Yarden with the rest of the Eden. And it was regarding this concept that Uzzah was punished. When the Arden was being carried in a wagon to Yerushalayim, Uzzah thought that he saw the Arden at risk of falling off. It stuck out his hand to steady the Arden. Hashem said, if the Arden can carry the ones who are, quote-unquote, carrying it, then if a shore can carry itself, and therefore Uzzah should not have touched the Arden. The Pasuk says that Hashem got angry with Uzzah and made him die. There's a machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Belazar. One says he died for having touched the Arden. The other says he died for going to the bathroom in front of the Arden. The Pasuk says that Uzzah died next to the Arden of Hashem. Bechanan said, this teaches that Uzzah went to Olam Haba, just like the Aron exists forever, it's hidden and never destroyed, so to Uzzah lives on forever in Olam Haba. Pasuk says, Vayichar David, upon the death of Uzzah. It doesn't mean he got angry, but it means that he got, his face changed color, he felt the pain for the death of Uzzah, because if he was angry, he should have said Vayichar Af. Rava said, David was punished by having the death of Uzzah come back through him, because David was the one who transported the Aron on the wagon, because David referred to the Torah as a song. Hashem said to him, it's written about the Torah, close your eyes for a minute and it's gone, and you say it's a song? So I'll have you make a mistake. That's something that even the school children know. The Pasuk says that the family of Kohath did not get wagons because they carried the holy Kalim and did so on their shoulders. From here we see that the Aron should never be placed on a wagon. The Pasuk tells us when the Aron was returned from the Polishim, it arrived in Beit Shemesh. And people were punished because they looked at the Aron. Why would they be punished for looking at the Aron? One says because they continued doing their work and didn't really stop to honor the Aron as it arrived. That's why they were punished. The other says that they actually spoke disrespectfully about the Aron as well. Pasuk says that at that time there were killed 70 men, 150,000 men. They're stating Pasuk. Machlekes between Rav and Rav Elazar. One says that 70 men were killed, each of them being equal to 150,000 men. The other says 150,000 men were killed, each of them being equal to the 70 Sanhedrin. David waited months after the death of Uzzah before continuing the journey of the Aron to Yerushalayim. When he continued the journey, one pasuk says that for every six steps that the people took who were carrying the Aron, that David brought an ox and another animal as a carbon. Another pasuk says that he brought seven parim and seven elim. Papa Bar Shmuel explained that for every single step he brought an ox and another animal. For every six steps he brought the seven parim and elim. Chizah says that number would be too high. You would need bummers all over the place to accept all those karbanos. Rather, for every six steps, he brought the ox and the other animal. For every six sets of six steps, he brought the seven parim and seven elim. One pasuk says the story with Uzzah happened in Kidoin. The other pasuk says it happened in Nochoin. Rabbi Yochanan explains these names refer to the Aron. After the death of Uzzah, it was called Kidoin, meaning a spear for having caused the death of Uzzah. After being in the house of Ovid Edoim and bringing bracha to his house, it was called Nochoin, established. It established his house. Come back to the Braisa, and we say that it turns out there were three sets of stones that were used. One was used by Moshe, which we learned through Xer Shavu, also had the entire Torah written on them, and that was placed in Moav. The second set was placed in the Yarn as a remembrance, like we learned earlier. And the third set was the one on which the Torah was written in 70 languages and placed in Gilgal. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah was first written on the stones in 70 languages after the course of the Yarn, and then after it was written, then it was covered over in plaster. Hashem says it can't be, because how were the Goyim supposed to learn the Torah from these stones if the writing was covered over with plaster? Rabbi Yehuda says Hashem gave the Goyim some special intelligence to have their scribes peel back the plaster, copy the words of the Torah, and then bring it back home. Because the Goyim had the chance to learn it and they didn't, and because they didn't learn it, their fate to Gehenna was then sealed. Rav Shimon says that no, the words of the Torah were written on top of the plaster, and the pasuk was written. A pasuk was written below, which let them know that if they did tshuva, the tshuva would be accepted. There's a braisa that says that the parasha of Yefas Torah even applies to Kananim of Chutz La'aretz who have done tshuva, whose tshuva would be accepted. This follows the view of Rav Shimon of the braisa above that says, had they done tshuva, they would be accepted.